I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll,
awake, awake.
Thank you, Corral, for that song of triumph. I'm J. Mark Horst, your host for this program, and what a joy it is to welcome you to the Voice of Hope. We're in that season of the year when we commemorate the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord. Our message for today is titled, We Want to See Jesus. Have you ever wished you could have lived during the time that Jesus walked on the earth? I have. What would it have been like to hear him speak, or to see him heal the sick, to give sight to the blind, or even to raise the dead to life? I believe those would have been unforgettable experiences. And yet, as I think about it, I'm reminded of Jesus' words to his disciple Thomas. Jesus said to him, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So you and I weren't there to see those miracles, and yet by faith, we believe that what the gospel records tell us is the truth. We're in that season of the year when we commemorate the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. For today's teaching, we turn to the Gospel of John and a section of verses that gives us a window on events that were taking place just a few days prior to his crucifixion. John chapter 12 opens with a scene happening 6 days before the Passover. In the home of Lazarus, Jesus is having a meal. And according to verse 2, there were other people who were enjoying the meal with them. And then there were others who simply came to look on and observe. While they were enjoying the meal, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, anoints Jesus' feet with a very expensive ointment. And Judas Iscariot complains about the extravagance of Mary's gift. Jesus rebukes Judas by telling him that Mary has anointed his body in anticipation of his impending death and burial. Then just a few verses later, we have the account of what we sometimes call the triumphal entry. The day following the meal at Lazarus' house, a multitude of people hear that Jesus is coming toward the city of Jerusalem. They go out to meet him, and they're waving palm branches, and they're shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord." You know, that may have been the high point of Jesus' popularity. We can be sure that all that commotion attracted a lot of attention. In fact, the Pharisees who hated Jesus said among themselves, "Behold, the whole world is gone after him." Well, that brings us then to our text, John chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. And the title of the message is, "We Want to See Jesus." So listen carefully as I read this portion of Holy Scripture, John 12, verses 20 to 33. "Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name.' Then a voice came from heaven saying, 'I have both glorified it and will glorify it again.' Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, 'An angel has spoken to him.' Jesus answered and said, 'This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself.' This he said, signifying by what death he would die." Verse 20 tells us there was a group of Greeks who came up to Jerusalem for the Passover. But notice their statement, and this is the title for today's teaching: "We want to see Jesus." The word "see" carries with it the idea of seeing face to face, to talk with, to visit. In other words, to have a personal acquaintance or a relationship with someone. They wanted to know more of this one they had heard so much about. As we look at Jesus' response to their request, we discover several important insights that will enable you and me to see Jesus also. Pay careful attention, because you'll find these insights will be exactly opposite your natural inclinations. The first insight needed to see Jesus is, life springs from death. Jesus began by saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Now obviously, he was referring to his impending crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. Through these events, he would reveal not only to these Greeks, but to all humanity, that he was indeed the Son of God, God incarnate, God in the flesh. These events would provide clear insights, enabling us to see Jesus and to have a relationship with him. As he so often did in his teaching ministry, Jesus began by using an illustration that all of those who were listening could easily understand. He spoke of putting a seed into the ground. For life to spring forth, we know the seed had to die. If the seed doesn't die and it remains encased in its hard, protective shell, then it remains alone. But if and when that seed dies, if that outer shell is cracked open, new growth emerges and new life springs forth. And that new life eventually produces fruit. This is the process of salvation. Now you might say, but I thought salvation was an event. Well, I guess there's a sense in which that's true. There is a moment in time where we're like that seed. We crack open and we die to self. Our hard shell of sinfulness is broken by the persistent probing and softening of the Holy Spirit. But that's usually the culmination of a lengthier process. There's usually some resistance on our part as we try to protect that outer shell of ourself. Even Jesus in his humanity had to deal with this. Look at verse 27. He said, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, I came to this hour." You see, as Jesus looked at what lay before him, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, "I don't want to go through with this. And yet, that's the purpose, that's the reason for which I've come." You know, it's comforting to me to know that Jesus doesn't ask us to do something he wasn't or isn't willing to do. His life was like that grain of wheat that he was describing. He would lay down his physical life, allowing his outer shell to be broken, so new life and fruitfulness could spring forth. And it's that way with everyone who truly wants to see him, to know him, to have a relationship with him. Now, I don't know exactly what these Greeks had in mind, but whatever their intent was, I believe Jesus gave them more than what they expected. He explained to them and to us how we can truly see and know him. We know from the context of this chapter that on the previous day, many had hailed him as the King of Israel. And no doubt, many of those in that crowd saw him having the possibility of a political leader who would free them from Roman oppression. We know that's what the disciples saw because they argued over who would be greatest in his kingdom and who would sit on the throne next to him. But Jesus said no. No, his kingdom would be spiritual, ushered in by his death and resurrection. It's a sad thing, but today many professing Christians are like those people in Jesus' day who saw him as an earthly king. They see a relationship with Jesus as their ticket to prosperity, or to position, or power in the kingdoms of this world. They've been told by false teachers, contrary to Jesus' own words, that those who belong to this king will never know hardship, never suffer poverty, or never be sick. Then when they've experienced these things, they've been accused by those same teachers of not having enough faith. And the faith they did have has been overthrown. You know, that's a shame. They've never clearly been taught that to truly see and know Jesus, there must be death to self and all its attending ambitions. We can never expect to experience the life that Christ spoke about, the life he has for us, unless we are willing to die to self first. If you and I truly want to see Jesus, his own words tell us, we must understand the insight that true life can only spring forth after there has been death to self. The second insight needed then to see Jesus is gain accumulates from loss. After we've experienced death to self, there's a need for ongoing surrender to the will of God. You see, we're not saved from sin in order that we might go on our merry way and fulfill our own plans for life. No, Jesus said we're called to lay down our lives for the sake of our Savior and Lord. In fact, Jesus clearly stated, "He who loves his life, that is, loves his physical life more than he loves me, will lose it." Anyone who counts his physical life more important than following the Lord's commands will face spiritual ruin. That's what Jesus said. And the word lose means to ruin or to perish or to destroy completely. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say?" He went on to describe the disobedient ones as those who build on the sand to their own destruction. But then the converse is also true. Whoever is willing to do his master's bidding, regardless of the cost to his physical person, will secure for himself life without end in the presence and the glory of our Heavenly Father. Now it's important for us to note the verb tenses in connection with the words love and hate. The Greek verb tenses denote a continuous or a repeated action. So we could read it this way. Whoever keeps on loving his life will, in the future, lose it. That is, he will experience the judgment of God on his disobedience, his unwillingness to surrender his own will to the Father. But whoever keeps on disregarding his own life to please the Father will, in the future, preserve it unto life eternal. The one will hear those very tragic words, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity." While the other will hear those welcome words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Now I suppose it would be a wonderful thing if this giving up of my will to the Master's will were a one-time event. But the very words of this text indicate it's a process. It's not enough for me to look back to an event that happened 20 or more years ago and stake my hope of salvation solely on the fact that I went to the altar or prayed the sinner's prayer. Now, those events may be necessary and good, but the question remains, what difference does your decision back there have on your life and your choices today? You know, I've found the Lord is continually making me aware of areas in my life that I need to surrender to Him. He's giving me new understanding of what it means to lay down my life for Him. He shows me sometimes areas that I once had surrendered to Him, but in the process of time, I've taken them back again for myself. In verse 31 of this text, Jesus again illustrates this insight. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world is cast out. Here Jesus is referring to his impending crucifixion. The cross became the place of judgment on the sin of all mankind. All who accept the cross and Jesus' sacrifice on it have their sins forgiven, and those sins are washed away by the blood of Christ. On the other hand, all who reject it are condemned by that rejection to suffer punishment for their own sin. Christ's loss of his physical life becomes our gain through his atoning sacrifice. Now there's another truth here we mustn't miss. The crucifixion of Christ dealt Satan a death blow from which he never has, nor ever will, recover. While he's still active in the world and won't be judged and cast into the lake of fire until a future time, the promise of his demise is so certain, so sure, that it is stated as if it had already happened. Praise the Lord for that. Jesus understood that gain accumulates from loss, and he demonstrated this insight for us by his life and in his death. The final insight, then, needed to see Jesus is honor comes by serving. In our humanity, we believe honor comes to us when others serve us. But as I said earlier, God's ways are opposite of our ways. The wise man Solomon said, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Jesus says in verse 26 of our text, "If any man will follow my example of service and serve with me, him my Father will honor." And what was Jesus' example of service? He laid down his life for you and for me. And then Jesus puts an interesting twist on this concept in verse 32. He says, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." In our minds, being lifted up speaks of honor. We're lifted up in the eyes or the opinions of other people. But this lifting up that Jesus spoke of was not a lifting up to honor. No, instead, it was the most shameful form of humiliation a person could endure. It's really hard for us in our modern times to imagine the barbarity of crucifixion. It was designed to completely humiliate the victim, to humiliate him to the greatest degree possible. Every aspect of such cruelty was designed to strip away the last ounce of respectability a person had. But it is in this service that our Lord calls you and me to follow him. Jesus had said earlier to his disciples, "Whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." But then look at the promise he made for us. If we voluntarily take up the cross and walk with him, serving others as he has served us, he promises that we will have honor and approval of his Father. The word honor means to prize or to revere. We fix a value on something. Once, Peter said to Jesus, "See, we have left all and followed you." And here's Jesus' response. "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brother or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life." So this scripture and others make it clear that whatever sacrifices we make in the service to the Lord, he will reward in a way that far outstrips our imagination. Boarding the United States ship Dorchester on a dreary winter day in 1943 were nearly 1,000 troops and 4 chaplains, including Moody Bible Institute alumnus Lieutenant George Fox. World War II was in full swing, and the ship was headed across the icy North Atlantic, knowing that German U-boats lurked in those waters. At 12 a.m. on the morning of February 3rd, a German torpedo ripped into the ship, and the cry rang out, "She's going down!" Of course, all of those on board scrambled for the lifeboats. A young soldier crept up to one of the chaplains. "I've lost my life jacket," he said. "Take this," the chaplain said, handing the soldier his jacket. And you know, before that ship sank, each of those 4 chaplains had given his life jacket to another man. And then those heroic men linked their arms and lifted their voices in prayer as the ship went down. Lieutenant Fox and his fellow chaplains were awarded posthumously the Distinguished Service Cross. They performed the ultimate service, and they received greater honor than the medals they were given. Let me conclude this point and this message by reminding us of God's word to us through the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, chapter 2. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." What a wonderful insight Jesus gave as he demonstrated for us how honor comes by serving. Friend, I urge you to carefully consider these insights if you really want to see Jesus.
Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Destitute, despised, forsaken, thou from hence my all shalt be. Perish every fond ambition, all I sought and hoped and known. Yet how rich is my condition, God and heaven are still my own. Haste thee on from grace to glory, armed by faith and winged by prayer.
God's eternal days before thee, God's own hand shall guide thee there. Soon shall close thy earthly mission, swift shall pass thy pilgrim days, hope shall change to glad fruition. Faith to sight and prayer to praise.
Well, friend, I thank you for joining me today for the Voice of Hope. You know, I'd love to hear from you. If you were encouraged by today's program, it only takes a few moments to send an email or to write a note to let us know. Now, the easiest way for you to contact us is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a copy of the teaching, We Want to See Jesus, either in print or on an audio CD. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and you can listen to this teaching whenever it fits in your schedule. We also encourage you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, you can learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Once again, you may send your request to our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free, 866-960-0292, and ask for your copy of the teaching, We Want to See Jesus, either in print or on an audio CD. And if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you may donate securely online at our website, heraldsofhope.org. Or by dialing our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll have a message titled, The Results of the Resurrection. So be sure to join me, and until we meet again,